that those in Samaria who are saved on a wide scale believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for or because of the saying of the woman. And the word saying means the word of the woman. The original language, the particular word that is used here, translated saying, is actually a very common word in the New Testament that means word. And so, for the word of the woman, she spoke. She said something, because it goes on to say, which testified. She told something to her own people, and therefore she was a faithful messenger, and God used that.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. Hello and welcome to our program today. I'm Andrew Fitton, the pastor of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, 1879 58th Avenue, Surrey. We give a warm invitation to you and your family to attend the Western Bible Conference in our congregation in Cloverdale from Friday the 31st of July through to Sunday the 2nd of August. The meetings will be advertised on our webpage, cloverdalefpc.ca. Do visit our page for the times of those services, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and our Facebook page as well will have the details of these meetings. During the month of July, we are sharing old messages from our conference with you here on our program. Today's preacher is the Reverend John Greer from Northern Ireland, and his subject is local revival. May the Lord bless the ministry of his word to your soul.
So, John chapter 4, and we will read from two parts of this chapter, from verse 1 down to verse 7, and then we'll pick up the reading again at verse 27. So John 4 and the verse number 1, let us hear the word of God. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. And then going down to verse 27. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Amen. And the Lord will bless the reading of his own word to our hearts. Now, in this chapter, there is a series of events that flow out of a preaching mission that Christ pursued in the area of Samaria. He had been ministering in Judea, but at the time in view in this chapter, he purposed to travel north to Galilee. Verse number 3 states, He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. Then in verse 45, we didn't read it earlier, but in verse 45 we do read, When he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him. Clearly, some time passed between his intention to go to Galilee and his actual arrival there. And during that time, that period, something wonderful, something glorious took place as the Lord visited that area of Samaria and that city of Sychar. When the Lord left Judea to go to Galilee, he did not take the usual route that was followed by the Jew. The Jewish custom was to circumvent this area of Samaria because of the hostility between the Jews and the Samaritans. But on this occasion, in view of this chapter, the Lord purposed to go through Samaria. We notice there in verse number 4, those very important words where it says he must needs go through Samaria, or as it could also be read, it was necessary for him to go through Samaria. And the words plainly show that the Lord Jesus Christ had a definite objective in mind It made it necessary for him, therefore, to travel through an area and among a people who were always avoided by his fellow Jews because of that hostility that was between them. The Lord's objective becomes very clear as we read the whole narrative. In the first instance, he intended to redeem a poor, sinful, fallen Samaritan woman. She stands nameless in this passage of Scripture. The only place we read of her, of course, in the Word of God. But she stands out as one whose life was totally transformed by the saving power of God and of Christ. To reach and to save that woman, therefore, it was necessary that the Lord would go through Samaria. It was indispensable that he would make his journey through that particular part of the land. But he had a further objective in visiting Samaria, namely to initiate an awakening in that city called Sychar. And that awakening resulted in the conversion of many, many sinners. It makes thrilling reading. We read in verse number 39 that many of the Samaritans believed on him. In verse number 41, John continues his record and writes that many more believed. In other words, there were waves of the power of the Holy Spirit felt on that occasion among sinners in that city of Sychar and in that surrounding area in those wonderful days of the Lord's visitation that he took to that area and among those people. There is no doubt that the Lord went therefore to Samaria because it was his intention only to save that single lady, that woman who stands out so prominently in this passage, but also to initiate the awakening, the local revival that came about in that city of Sychar. As we pay heed to this detail of this passage, we find that the awakening was not in the whole country of Samaria as a whole. Instead, it was concentrated on one particular place, namely this city called Sychar. Look in verse 5 at these words. He cometh to a city of Samaria called Sychar. Now those words flow directly out of what you have in verse number 4, where it says it was necessary for him to go through Samaria. He went through the land of Samaria. Notice that. He went right through the land until he got to Sychar. And therefore, the awakening that came about, the conversion of the woman, it all took place in that locality, in that particular part of Samaria. Not the whole nation, not the whole land, but that one area that is identified and singled out in what John records for us in these marvelous verses. It wasn't the Lord's intention in his sovereignty to visit anywhere else, to stop anywhere else. Even in the area of Samaria, he goes right on through. He passes other places by. He has his mind set on getting to that city and to those people who live in that city. The awakening at Sychar is an example of local revival. The Lord has directed my mind to deal with that subject tonight based upon what we read in this passage, in the first two messages of this series, in this conference. We have been looking at very basic, fundamental, vital matters with regard to the work of God. We looked last night at the theme of God's work having a future. And this morning we looked again at something that flows out of that fact that God's work is a future, namely what we saw in Acts chapter 1 with regard to this matter of the continuation of Christ's ministry in this world. And certainly, as the people of God, we've got a vision for the world. We long to see God visit nation after nation, so forth, and people after people. We could not be true Christians if that were not our vision and our longing and our prayer, that the Lord will move across the face of the earth. We may not know where he's moving or ever be where he's moving, but it's our longing that that will happen as it has happened before. But here we gather tonight, and we have people from Cloverdale and Prince George and Calgary, Toronto, Phoenix, wherever else might be represented here this evening. And what we also long is that in those specific areas, those cities and those areas, whether it's Western Canada or anywhere else, that what we notice here in this chapter will suddenly take place. Is it your consciousness, your awareness, dear brother or sister, that your city needs a visitation from Christ? That the people of your area need to know a moving of God among them? Yes, as I've said, we long for it on a wide scale in other places, but I am bringing you to a chapter tonight where we have the proof that the Lord does visit specific places, singling them out, passing by other cities or places and going directly to a local area like Sychar and actually moving there and working there and then moving on. That's what this chapter shows us. As I look at it with you this evening, I want to look at some marks of local revival, some pertinent aspects of that theme from this passage. May the Lord take that and burn into your soul the need for you to pray for your city, for its people, that God will specifically visit there and move there in a most wonderful and powerful way. And we've got the encouragement from this passage and the incentive to pray in that manner. So let's look at this theme this evening. There are three features that I want to bring to your attention that flow out of these verses that help us to see that it is indeed our privilege to pray for our cities, our peoples all around us in the immediate locality, that God will visit and God will move. First of all, I want us to look at the faithful messenger. And I am speaking, of course, of this woman who is very prominent in the whole story here. And really what happened in Sychar began with her. It began with one person. This woman, as I say, she's nameless, she's anonymous. We don't know very much about her at all, although there are details here that are fascinating about that woman. And I will endeavor to bring certain of those details forth to your minds. But I call her a faithful messenger because that's exactly what we see her becoming. And that's the role that she played in what actually happened on a city-wide scale, we might put it that way, with regard to what God did, what the Lord Jesus did in Sychar. So look with me at verse number 39. And notice what it says in that verse. It says there, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. There's the faithful messenger. And we're told in verse number 39 that those in Samaria who are saved on a wide scale believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for or because of the saying of the woman. And the word saying means the word of the woman. The original language, the particular word that is used here, translated saying, is actually a very common word in the New Testament that means word. And so for the word of the woman, she spoke, she said something, because it goes on to say, which testified. She told something to her own people, and therefore she was a faithful messenger, and God used that in this wonderful way. This was a personal testimony. On her part, it was a testimony of her own experience of Christ and his saving grace. If you go back with me to verse 25, we read these words, the woman saith unto him, that is unto the Lord Jesus, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Now, focus with me on those two verses. This woman who gave the personal testimony that the Christ had told her everything about her own life, first of all, had to meet the Lord herself. And of course, what you have in verse 25, verse 26 took place at the well. Back in the earlier part of the chapter, we read about Jacob's well and the Lord coming to that well and the woman coming forth from the city to draw her water from that well. And now the conversation has continued. There's a lot in between, but the conversation has continued between her and Christ. And we come down to verse number 25, and she's still at the well, and the Lord speaking to her. And this woman there at the well, she speaks to the Lord Jesus Christ about things that she did not really understand. She says here, I know that Messiah cometh, or as it could be read, the Christ cometh. And I will come back to that later, because there's a question there. How did she know that there was a Messiah who was going to come? And this is not a second coming, of course. This is the first coming of the Lord. How did she know that? That's a good question for you to think about. But as you think about it, don't lose my train of thought. I'll get back to you about that a little later. But she does mention the Messiah. Already she has addressed the Lord about worship. Earlier in the chapter here, verse 20, she says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And she begins to talk about worship and details of worship and so forth. And what is going on here? Well, this woman is trying to pull around herself a cloak of religion and give the impression that she's a woman who believes, or she's a woman who knows something about God, when all the while she doesn't know what it is to be right with the one and only true God whom she does not know. Who are these Samaritans? How do we come to any knowledge of her background? Well, we're not doing it tonight, but I would encourage you to read 2 Kings 17. Because in 2 Kings 17, you've got the record there of the beginning of the Samaritan people. Because you read there of Samaria, which was the capital of the northern part of Israel in those days when the kings reigned, like Ahab and others. And in that city of Samaria, great wickedness was perpetrated. The judgment of God fell, and the northern 10 tribes of Israel were carried away into captivity. And in their place, in that northern part of the land, the Lord brought all these people from a pagan and a heathen background, and they were planted in the northern part of the land of Israel called Samaria. They were a people, we are told in 2 Kings 17, and here's an interesting statement. They believed in the Lord, but they worshipped their own gods. They had a mongrel religion. They professed to worship the God of Israel, but they didn't really. They just paid lip service to him. They pretended that they knew him. But they worshiped their own gods. And you see, that was the beginning of that Samaritan people. And furthermore, the beginning of a whole new religion, a mongrel religion, that continued right down to the days of this woman. And in her day, there was a temple in Samaria, and there was a priesthood, and there were sacrifices offered, and there was a whole religion carried on there. But it was not God-centered. It was not truth-centered. It was, as I've been calling it, a mongrel religion. It was a mixture of beliefs. But the false beliefs and the pagan beliefs dominated anything that was there by way of truth. So I trust that gives you some idea of the kind of woman and the kind of people who were living in Sychar. For you.
Spurgeon brings us today to Isaiah chapter 37, verse 22. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. Reassured by the word of the Lord, the poor trembling citizens of Zion grew bold, and shook their heads at Sennacherib's boastful threats. Strong faith enables the servants of God to look with calm contempt upon their most haughty foes. We know that our enemies are attempting impossibilities. They seek to destroy the eternal life which cannot die while Jesus lives, to overthrow the citadel against which the gates of hell shall not prevail. They kick against the pricks to their own wounding, and rush upon the bosses of Jehovah's buckler to their own hurt. We know their weakness. What are they but men? And what is man but a worm? They roar and swell like waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. When the Lord ariseth, they shall fly as chaff before the wind, and be consumed as crackling thorns. Their utter powerlessness to do damage to the cause of God and His truth may make the weakest soldiers in Zion's ranks laugh them to scorn. Above all, we know that the Most High is with us, and when He dresses Himself in arms, where are His enemies? If He cometh forth from His place, the potsherds of the earth will not long contend with their Maker. His rod of iron shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel, and their very remembrance shall perish from the earth. Away, then, all fears. The kingdom is safe in the King's hands. Let us shout for joy, for the Lord reigneth, and His foes shall be as straw for the dunghill. As true as God's own word is true, nor earth nor hell with all their crew against us shall prevail. A jest and byword are they grown. God is with us, we are His own. Our victory cannot fail. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091, or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all His fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.